To the book of John's Gospel, chapter number 4, if you would. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. And while you're turning, let me say that the theme of our church this year is 2020 Vision. And the verse is our text this morning, a part of it. And we're going to be looking at this, John chapter 4 and verse number 35. If you would, please stand and give attention to the Word of God as we read. In fact, I'm going to read verse number 34, and I'll read it down through verse number 38. Jesus saith unto them, his disciples, who had just brought him some food back from the city to eat, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I get my nourishment for my soul out of serving God," is what Jesus is saying here. But he turns the subject from physical meat that the disciples were talking about now to the harvest. And it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages." You've got to work to get a paycheck. If you don't work, Paul said, you don't eat. That's a Bible principle. And so, "he that reapeth receiveth wages," and watch this now, "and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." I'm preaching this morning about the fruit of that vision of missions. We preached on the focus of missions on Wednesday night. We preached on the fundamentals of missions on Thursday night. On the faith that's involved in missions on Friday night, the finances of missions in the Sunday school hour this morning, how we finance God's missions program. But I want to preach for a little while this morning on what I call the fruit of missions. There is a verse in Philippians chapter 4, and it's verse number 17, I think, on your paper, the booklet. It says 19, but it's chapter 4 and verse 17. And by the way, that's my mistake and not Miss Becca's, okay? That's what I turned into her, but it's not the right one. That's, the first mistake I ever made. You know, everybody's entitled to at least one. And I thought I made one time, but I was mistaken. But anyway, it's verse 17. And Paul said, it's talking to that church at Philippi that is so mission-minded and mission-hearted, mission-giving. And when he's talking to them about his need for support and financial supply, he said, "It's not that I desire your money, a gift." He said, "That's not what I'm looking at." He said, "But I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I'm not after your money, Paul said. But every soul I win to Christ, because that you're willing to support missions, that's a victory for you and will be laid up to your account at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's what this is all about. So I'm preaching this morning about the fruit of missions. Now, Father, touch us, speak to us, challenge us, and Dear God, if there be somebody here who's never been saved, speak to that heart and save them today. For Jesus' sake, in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, the image of the harvest that we read in your hearing a while ago is a familiar image to all of us in the Bible, and it's often applied to the ministry of winning souls to Christ. In Proverbs 11 and verse 30, the Bible says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And it's important that we understand that we're talking about lost souls. When Jesus gave his parables in Matthew 13 about the sower and also the one about the tares, he's talking about sowing the seed on different kinds of soil, but he's talking about sowing the Word of God. And so, my friend, we understand that when we talk about the harvest, we're talking about fruit, we're talking about souls. Paul several times in his epistles referred to fruit, talking about souls. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, one of the many reasons that Paul wanted to visit the believers in Rome, he said there in that verse, is that I might have some fruit among you. He said, I want to come over and win some souls to Christ. That's what he's talking about. He mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, that I've planted, Apollos has watered, but it's God that giveth the increase. Talking about sowing the seed of the Word of God and it bringing forth a harvest of souls. He said in Galatians 6 and verse 9 that in due season we will reap if we faint not. You see, we plant the seed, as we plant the seed of God's Word in the hearts of people, then we work and we seek to cultivate that seed by our love and by our prayers, and in due time, that seed will bear fruit to the glory of God, and we'll reap in due season if we faint not. And you can count on that it's going to bring forth fruit for the glory of God. Now, look at your paper. On this situation, we notice three truths to look at here about gathering this harvest and the fruit that we gather as we sow the gospel seed, and in this case, given to missions, to send out missionaries around the world. First of all, I want you to notice that the Lord talks about the seriousness of it. It is a serious thing. Now, why is it serious? I've tried to emphasize it all week. I'll do it again this morning because eternal souls are at stake. The harvest is ripe. That's why. That he says they are white unto harvest. They're ready. The fruit is ready to be plucked. And we've got to get out and do it. Now, there can be, first of all, no rationalizations about it. We can't make excuses about the matter as to why that we don't do it. We've just got to do it. Number two, there can be no reluctance in the matter. We can't look at the clouds. I was reading just the other day in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. And the writer Solomon here says that he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you're all kind of time looking at weather, and saying, hey, I believe it's going to rain today. It's a little cloudy. We'd better not go out soul winning. You know, sort of like the school system in Walker County and Catoosa County. Hey, All they have to do is look out and see it clouding up and they'll cancel school. I've never seen anything like this mess in my life. To call school off because it's a little cold. There's even just a forecast of snow. For the first snowflake has fell. Or has fallen. I guess I should get my, if I'm going to talk about school, get my grammar right. Amen. Listen, we can make excuses about it. And we can be reluctant to do it. But it does not change the fact that people are dying and going to a Christless eternity. So there can be no rationalizations. There can be no reluctance about it. There can be no relenting in it. No turning back. We can't turn back. Hey, we've come too far to turn back now. There's too much at stake out here. We can't quit now. Well, wouldn't it be awful if God's people didn't respond like they should to this? And that we would have to not take on any more missionaries, but have to trim back on our support. Oh, my dear friends, there can be no rationalizations. There can be no reluctance. There can be no relenting. What we are going to do, it must be done, and it must be done quickly because the harvest is ripe. It cannot wait. Jesus said that the harvest is ripe. He said, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9 in verse number 37. And the question this morning is that because the laborers are few, who of us today will gather the harvest? We've got to make a choice about that. Are we going to be involved, get into the fields, and gather that harvest that's ripe? Unto harvest. Are we going to gather it and bring it in? And I said many times over, what you do this morning in this missions conference and what you put on that card could very well make the difference in somebody going to heaven or hell for all of eternity. What an opportunity we have. Here's a young couple, newlyweds. I was there at their wedding 3 weeks ago. I saw them get married. I know that they're married. Amen. I heard the preacher pronounce them man and wife. And here they've given themselves to God to go to the country of Honduras. It would be a shame that our faith promise didn't increase that we could take somebody on like this. Hey, you and I are supposed to be down in Honduras preaching the gospel today. That's the commission of the church. But here's a young couple that said God's called us to go. But we need help. Oh, that we would respond to that. Because the harvest is ripe. And the need is urgent. Years ago, when we lived in Germany, we were missionaries there. Your pastor grew up a lot of his years there in Germany on the mission field. And we had several opportunities to go to the former Nazi prison camp in a place called Dachau, which is a little town right north of the city of Munich. And they have preserved that old concentration camp there, and where that people can visit, and thousands of visitors come through there each year. And when people would come over to visit us, they would want to go to Dachau. And so we would try to take them. And I visited there many times. And I tell you, all of those atrocities that took place there under that, you just can't imagine the depravity of a human heart that could treat another human being like that. They have a 20-minute film. And every time, and I saw that just scores of times, and every time my heart would just melt as a result of it. But you know, as the closing days of the war, the Allies, Army, the Americans were closing in, they could hear the guns of firing. The prisoners knew that maybe if they could survive just a little while longer, that they would be liberated and released from the prison camp. But the Nazis also knew that. And they were killing them hundreds an hour and trying to kill as many of them off as they could and get them buried in mass graves and get them out of the way. And somehow, miraculously, word got out of that prison camp of what was going on and got to the Allies and the American army who was already in Munich and said that every hour you delay, hundreds will be killed. You've got to come now. If you don't come now, then many may not see their liberation. Oh, my dear friend, let me tell you something. There's a harvest of souls out there. And we've got Amber saying, so little time, so little time. And the longer we wait and delay, many are going to die and go to hell forever. Quickly, let me give you a second thing, not only the seriousness of it, how serious it is, but I want you to notice the sin of it. Now look at verse 35. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. You see, as we have that vision of missions, and we preached about the other night, where there is no vision, the people perish. As we lift up our eyes and look on the fields, we're going to see some things. First of all, we're going to see the condition of the lost, how that the fields are white unto harvest. It means that that fruit must be gathered in. In other words, we cannot wait. We dare not neglect it. Proverbs 10 and verse 5 says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. We cannot sleep during the harvest. We have got to awaken and get out there and get into the fields, or the fruit is going to be rotten when we get there. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is given a parable about a farmer, a nobleman, a husbandman, it is. And he said that he went out early in the morning to hire some workers. And I take that to be at 6 o'clock in the morning at the early hour. And then he goes back out at 9 o'clock in the morning at the third hour. And then he goes back out at the sixth hour, which is noon. And the ninth hour, he goes back out to hire some more to get into the fields at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at the 11th hour, or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he goes back out and he sees some people doing nothing. And he says, why stand ye here all day idle? He said, come on, we need to work. The harvest needs to be gathered in. And that's what he's talking about. Why are you standing idle? Because, and the master kept going back at the third hour, at the ninth, sixth hour, the ninth hour, even the 11th hour. He keeps going back out to get more laborers because of the urgency to bring in the harvest. That's what I'm talking about today. What we're seeing as we lift up our eyes and look on the fields, we see the condition of the law. Secondly, we see the commission of the Lord. He said in verse 38, I sent you. Jesus said to his disciples in John 20, verse 21, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So lift up your eyes. And when he says lift them up, he said, do something about this situation and do something now. Lift up your heads and gaze. Lift up your heels and go. Lift up your heart and groan in prayer for them. And lift up your hands and give to the work of God so that we can gather this harvest. Now listen to me. When we lift our eyes up, we look on the fields, we see the condition of the lost. We see the commission of the Lord. Don't miss this. We see the calamity if we linger. What kind of calamity? The fruit will rot in the field, and they'll die and go to hell forever. Someday we'll stand before God and give an account. You see, God told Ezekiel, he said, I've set you to be a watchman on the wall for Israel. You look out there and you, watchman, if he would see the enemy coming, impended danger, then his job was to warn the people. If he refused to do it, the blood would be on their hands, that watchman's hands. He said, hey, Ezekiel, I've set you to be a watchman. You tell the people about the danger that's coming, judgment's coming. And if you don't do it, their blood will be on your hands. We got the opportunity to warn this world about the coming judgment. And if we fail to do it, we'll stand with bloody hands at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me say finally this morning, not just the seriousness of it, and not just the seeing of it, but I want you to notice the service of it. You find that in the passage that I read, verse 35 through 39. I won't take the time to read it all again. In other words, we got to make our choice to do it, and it's going to involve some things. Number one, it's going to involve a fitting desire. You're in chapter 4 of John. Go all the way back to verse number 4, where it says that Jesus must needs to go through Samaria. In other words, that means that Jesus had a divinely appointed schedule, and it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. You know why it's necessary? Somebody there needed the Savior. And by the way, that's the first time that the phrase "the Savior of the world" was coined by that woman of Samaria. I believe it's verse 39 somewhere over there. The Savior of the world. That's mentioned one more time in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. But Jesus said salvation is the Jews, but when she goes in the town telling them about it, she said, I've met the Savior of the world. Not just for the Jews, it's for us Gentiles now, us Samaritans now. And he's the Savior of the world, a fitting desire to be faithful in the service of God because people need the Lord. Number two, it involves a fervent determination. Verses 36, 37, and 38 won't take time to read it. In other words, it takes faith to plow the field and to plant the seed and then to water it constantly. It takes faith. And then it takes faithfulness to water and to cultivate that soil to prepare for the harvest. But God has promised a harvest, because they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I'll tell you, friend, if we keep on plowing, if we keep on planting, if we keep on watering, and then the harvest is going to come. You may not see fruit immediately, but it will come. Amen. If you keep watering. Boy, I still remember old Edward Asher, one of my heroes, one of the dearest friends I ever had. And I could see him, Tyler, still weeping when he would say, pray for Tyler, pray for Tyler. And old Edward saw it from heaven, but he didn't see it, but old Tyler got saved. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. We may not see the fruit in our lifetime, but if we'll sow at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll see it. Let me give you this, and I'll close. There was the fitting desire. There was the fervent determination. But this is going to involve some fabulous delights. Because if you'll notice in verse number 39, that not only did the woman trust Christ herself, but it says that many others did. And then in verse 41, it says that many more got saved as a result of it. You see, when we obey God and take the gospel message, there will be some fabulous delights. And I have seen that many times over in my ministry. Oh, sometimes it's hard. It's hard, Pastor Church, sometimes. And most of you have no clue what this man goes through every week. But it's not easy when you got the care of 70, 80, 90, 100 people, and you're going to give an account for each one at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not easy. And some old reprobates like to make it hard on the men of God, and I never did understand why anybody would want to make it hard on a pastor, to pastor a church. Now, I'm not talking about you. I know you're not that way. Better not be anyway. I hadn't heard anyway. But what I'm saying is that it's not easy, but all the fabulous delights to see people walk this aisle and get saved. See people grow in the Lord. There's nothing like it in the world. I wish I had an hour just to tell you some illustrations about in my past ministry where I had privilege of leading people to Christ and just watch them grow and mature and mushroom in the things of God. There's nothing like it in all of the world. When I resigned my church, I was pastoring in North Carolina, and I resigned my church to go to the mission field. I had a number of pastors to rebuke me for that and tell me I ought not to go to the mission field, that I could do a whole lot more by pastoring for missions than I could as a missionary on the field. But God had called me. In fact, you and I were talking one day, and this has been years ago. A preacher's name came up. And I said, son, you may not know this, but that preacher tried his best to keep me from going to the mission field. He said, Dad, aren't you glad you didn't listen to him? I said, I sure am. And I never forget what he said. He said, you think about all of those peoples whose lives that's been touched by your ministry to the military that wouldn't have been touched if you hadn't obeyed the Lord and done what God told you to do. Amber was in a meeting with us in Greenville, South Carolina back in the fall of this year, and I led that pastor to Christ in Germany years ago, and when he left Germany to rotate back to the States, he was in the Army, he left me a note on the desk, and he said, preacher, if you ever have a tendency to get discouraged, think about this one soul. And he said, to me, it's worth it all. Amen. He said, thank you for resigning your church, giving it all up, and moving your family 5,000 miles across the ocean just to tell me about Jesus and get me saved. And I want to tell you, my dear friend, that makes it worth it all. Let me conclude with this. I'm preaching about gathering the harvest, the choice that we have to make to get into the fields and gather that fruit. There's a world of lost souls that need to be brought to Christ. A harvest of fruit that needs to be plucked. And we have that opportunity to gather that fruit will abound one day to our account. You see, the time is short. Eternity is long. And we've got to involve ourselves in this great task. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, and I close with it. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. In other words, their opportunity had passed them by. They didn't have another opportunity to be saved. That's sad. May that never be said of Linwood Baptist Church. We didn't take advantage of every opportunity we have to get somebody saved. I wonder how many of you would walk down this aisle this morning, get on your knees in this altar and say, Lord, I'll go to the fields and I'll gather that fruit that's ripe unto harvest. Whatever that may mean for you, it may mean to give more to missions. It may mean for you to yourself to go to the mission field, but whatever it means for you. I hope that you'll do it. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed.